The Disability Royal Commission is holding a week-long public hearing in Melbourne this week looking at the issue of group homes. Advocates say those homes can be rife with abuse and those living in them are often incredibly vulnerable. Caroline Fromada is the Executive Director of Women with Disabilities Australia. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Hamish. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What do these group homes look like in practice?
Well, they vary, but usually, say, 4 to 6 people with disabilities sharing the same setting, if you like. So we don't even know where all of the group homes in Australia are. We know there are something like well over 17,000 people with disability living in these types of facilities, but you know, they're located in all sorts of different places within our communities, and as advocates, we don't even know where they all are.
So who runs these group homes? What sort of support and services are supposed to be provided?
Some are run by government, some are run by non-government. It varies. It depends on the types of supports required. But I think the critical thing is that what we say as advocates are there's actually no such thing as a good group home or good practice in a group home. Group homes are, you know, a form of institutional living. They are well known for being breeding grounds for violence and abuse against people with disability. And importantly,
could I just pick you up on that? When you say a breeding ground for this, what you know, either anecdotally or what data is there that supports that view?
Well, there is a lengthy history. You only have to look in media articles and reviews and anecdotally reports from people with disability over many, many, many decades of the features of institution. It's well known that institutional settings are breeding grounds and cultures for violence and abuse. The power differential is, you know, obvious between people with disability in those settings and the people who are supposedly there to safeguard them and look after them. There are many evidence and of perpetrators who will actually move from setting to setting, similar to aged care settings, for example, specifically to target vulnerable people with disability. Some of the things, I suppose, if we look at features of institutions and group homes, there people with disability have limited influence over who they have to accept assistance from. They're isolated and segregated from independent life within the community. They have lack of control over their day-to-day decisions and lack of choice over who to live with, where they want to live, how they want to live. There are, you know, rigid and inflexible routines, lack of privacy. You know, we could go on.
In terms of who ends up in these group homes, as you say, 17,000 people live in disability group homes across Australia. I think the figures are that 30% of them have mild intellectual disability. What are the sorts of circumstances that people end up in one of these facilities?
I think, again, that varies. I mean, we know of people who have been in these settings, you know, their entire life. Some have come out of large institutional, you know, settings over the years. And, in fact, one of the things about group homes is that they are, in a sense, just smaller institutions with, you know, the same sort of frameworks and cultures that of those larger institutions. So deinstitutionalisation, for example, really just saw people moved into smaller institutional settings in the form of group homes and other forms of residential, semi-supported residential services.
And you think that the Commission should in fact go into these homes and visit them as well as hearing some of the experiences?
I think when you think about it, and one of the things we're very concerned about is that there would be people living in group homes, and I know that we know this for a fact, who don't even know about the Royal Commission. Often you know, and I'm not saying this is the case in all group homes, of course, but sometimes the people who work in those settings are in fact the perpetrators. So we need to be able to get past the gatekeepers. We need to be able to get into these settings to be able to work with people with disability to, first of all, many people with disability in these settings wouldn't even know that what is happening to them is wrong. There are, you know, many levels of abuse, violence, exploitation and neglect that occurs in these settings. So we need to be able to work with people with disability to inform them of what constitutes violence, abuse, exploitation and neglect. We need to be able to support them and work with them over a period of time. We need plenty of lead time to be able to support people with disability in these settings to be able to tell their stories and give their evidence in whatever way they want to do that. And we also need to make sure that there's no retribution for them in doing so.
Carolyn Fromada, thank you very much indeed.